Welcome our next speakers and give them a round of applause.
Can you hear me? I guess you can. So yeah, hello everyone and welcome to the session about how we can use OpenTelemetry on Kubernetes to collect traces, metrics, and logs. So my name is Pavel, I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. I'm a contributor and maintainer of OpenTelemetry Operator and Jaeger project.
My name is Bene, and I'm also working on the OpenTelemetry Operator and spend most of the time on OpenTelemetry.
And so, as I mentioned on today's agenda, there is the OpenTelemetry Operator. We will show how you can use it to deploy the collector, how you can as well use it to instrument your workloads on Kubernetes. And after this brief introduction, we will walk you through three use cases, how you can use it to collect traces, metrics, and logs. However, I will start with the history of open source observability. I'm doing this because I believe that if we understand the history, maybe we'll better understand where we as industry are going. So on this slide, you essentially see a timeline of with the open source project. And it's divided into the upper and bottom parts. In the bottom, you see the open source projects or platforms that you can deploy, and they provide you with a storage and visualization capabilities for the observability data. Most of them work with distributed traces. However, some of them, like the Apache Skywalking, HyperTrace, and Signos, those are more like end-to-end platforms that can show traces, metrics, and logs. I would like to focus on the upper part that shows you the open source data collection kind of frameworks. And what we see there, especially with OpenCensus and OpenTelemetry, is that it's becoming more important that these frameworks kind of work with all the signals. For me, the data collection, especially for tracing, started with Zipkin project. It gave us a stable data model that we as developers could use to export traces into Zipkin, but as well to many other kind of platforms that adopted Zipkin project. As a developer, so when we wanted to use Zipkin clients, because the ecosystem hosted client libraries as well, it was a bit problematic in polyglot environments because those clients were using kind of inconsistent APIs. There was no standardization. And so this problem then was partially solved with open tracing. The scope of the project was a bit wider. There was a specification, there was a document that defines which data should be collected and as well how the API in those languages should look like. This enabled us to build reusable instrumentation libraries. And then a year later, the OpenCensus project started with slightly different approach. There was no specification, there was no API, but there was SDK that everybody could use and a collector. So with open tracing, the approach was that developers would use the API and then at the build time provide the SDK from a vendor. With OpenCensus, everybody would use the SDK and then in the collector decide where the data should be sent. Those two projects were kind of competing, and then finally they merged into OpenTelemetry in 2019. So the OTel, it adopted all the pieces from OpenTracing and OpenCensus, but kind of the biggest innovation in OTel is the, at least in my view, is the auto-instrumentation libraries, or the agents. Those agents are production-ready, most of them, because they were donated by one of the observability vendors. So they are, production tested. So when we kind of summarize what happened is that we started with some instrumentation libraries, with Zipkin project. Then since we have some kind of standardization, we could build reusable instrumentation libraries and kind of create more sophisticated instrumentations for runtimes. And now we are in an age that we have available in open source agents or auto-instrumentation libraries that we can just grab, put into our platforms, and we will get telemetry data almost for free. And I think, so where are we going? I think we are going into an era where we, as developers, we won't have to care about how the telemetry is created for us. It will be, the instrumentation will become maybe the feature of the platform where we deploy the application. So this is one way to look at it. The other way might be that the observability will shift left, and since we have this data, we will start utilizing it for other use cases, probably like testing and security. So with that, I would like to move to the OpenTelemetry. And it's obviously open source project hosted in Cloud Native Computing Foundation, and its main goal is to provide vendor-neutral telemetry data collection. It's the second most active project in CNCF after Kubernetes, so its scope is quite large. And there are several independent components that we can use. There is a specification that defines what data should be collected and how the API should look like. And obviously then there is the implementation of the API, the SDK, and the standard data model called OTLP or OpenTelemetry Protocol. These four pieces are meant to be used primarily by instrumentation authors or the people that work on the observability systems. And last two components, the auto instrumentation or agent and collector, are meant to be used by end users to kind of roll out observability in their organization. To facilitate OpenTelemetry deployment on Kubernetes, there is a Helm chart and Kubernetes operator. What I would like to stress is that OpenTelemetry is only about how we collect and create telemetry data. It's not a platform that you can deploy. It doesn't provide any storage or query APIs. So now let's go to the main part, the Kubernetes operator. The operator itself, it's a Golang application. It uses KubeBuilder and Operator SDK. And it has three primary use cases. It can deploy the OpenTelemetry collector as a deployment, daemon set, stateful set. It can as well inject the collector as a sidecar to your workload. The second use case is that it can instrument your workloads running on Kubernetes by using those instrumentation libraries or agents from OpenTelemetry. And last but not least, it integrates with Prometheus ecosystem. It can read the service and pod monitors, get the scrape targets, and split them across the collector instances that you have deployed. To enable this functionality, the operator provides two CRDs, one for the collector that is used to deploy the collector and integrate the Prometheus, and the second one is the instrumentation CRD, where you define how the applications should be instrumented. The operator itself then can be deployed through manifest files, Helm chart, or OLM. So what we see here is a Kubernetes cluster. There are three workloads, pod 1, pod 2, and pod 3. The first workload is instrumented with the OTEL SDK directly. So when we were building this application, we pulled in the OTEL dependency and we compiled it against it and used those APIs directly in our business code and in the middlewares that we are using. The second pod is using the auto instrumentation libraries that were injected by the operator through the Vedmission webhook. And the third pod is using Zipkin instrumentation and Prometheus instrumentation libraries, and it has the collector sidecar as well injected by the operator. So essentially the operator there, it reconciles three OpenTelemetry CRs, two for the collector and one instrumentation. And then all these workloads, they send data to the collector deployed, probably as a daemon set. And then this collector then does some data normalization and sends finally data into platform of your choice, which can be Prometheus for metrics and Jaeger for traces. With that, I would like to move to the second part, explaining the CRDs in more detail.
Yep, I can take the microphone. Should work. So with the CRDs for today, we wanted to show both of them, and we start with the collector one. The collector CRD is a bit loaded, so therefore we picked a few things here which I would say are the most used or important. So as Pavel mentioned, there are different deployment modes, different use cases for the OpenTelemetry collector, and in the specification we can go to the mode and just specify it there. There's a handy thing, which is the sidecar. We will see it afterwards. But if we want to use it, we only go to the pod definition of our deployment and inject the annotation we see on the top right. And if we go with the deployment mode or something like this and we want to expose it for collecting metrics, logs, and traces from a different system, for example, we can use the ingress type. We can set there a lot of more, we configure there a lot of more, like also the annotations, your ingress class. But yeah, mainly the operator takes care of everything, creating services. Also, it's able to balance your load there. And yeah, the last thing here is then the image section, which is also important. With the OpenTelemetry operator, it usually ships the core distribution of OpenTelemetry by default. So in OpenTelemetry, the collector is split it into two repositories when you go up and look at that GitHub. So in core, you will find OTLP, a logging exporter, so some basic stuff. And in Contrib, you find basically everything. So if you want to send your traces to some proprietary vendor or to Jaeger, you probably need to look there. Okay, the next thing is then the configuration. The configuration for the OpenTelemetry collector is here provided like it's usually done for the collector itself, so it's passed directly forward. It's split into three parts here. We see the receiving part, there we specify our OTLP receiver. Here it accepts gRPC on a specific port. It could also be there that we specify a Prometheus receiver, which is then scraping something. Then the optional part is basically the processing part. We might want to save some resources and we batch then our telemetry data, and yeah, there are other useful things. And on the exporter section, here we use the logging exporter, which is part of the core distribution, but yeah, you can configure whatever you like. You can also have multiple exporters for one resource. There is one thing on the right side, we see the extensions. It didn't fit on the slide, so it's there in this box. This is then used if you have, for example, an exporter which needs some additional headers, some, yeah, you want to set a barrier token or something else, you can do it there. And then finally, we go to the service section where we have different pipelines for each signal. And there we can then configure a processor and a receiver and exporter in the yeah, way we want it. So then there is another CRD, which is the used for the auto instrumentation. And it looks slightly different. So here we have also the export in the specification, we have the exporter, and the exporter only exports OTLP, so which means if we want to export it to some yeah, backend of our choice, we usually instrument our application directly, then forward these traces to a collector instance which is running next to it, and yeah, we can use the power of these processors. Yeah, then we can configure some other useful things like how the context is propagated and the sample rate. And to use it, it's also quite easy. So we have our deployment. In this case, we can choose from this list of supported languages. We might use Java. And we only set this annotation on the pod level, and it will take care of adding the SDK and also setting and configuring the environment variables. If we use something like Rust, we can also use the inject SDK path annotation to configure then yeah, just the destination, because then the SDK should be there. And if we have a setup where there is, let's say, some proxy in front, like Envoy, we can then just skip the adding the auto instrumentation there by only configuring the container names we want to instrument. And we will see this in a minute a bit more in detail. So this is then basically what we would need to do. So we create this instrumentation CRD. We add this annotation. On the left, we see the pod. There is our application. And in this gray box, you see what automatically is added. And this is then forwarded, in this example, to a collector. And yeah, how does this work? So the operator in that mission webhook, he will add this init container. On the top left, we see how the container looks before. So there are no environment variables. It's just a yeah, plain application. And in the command section, there is then the copy, which copies the Java agent to our original container. And on the right side, we see the final result. We see the Java tool options where the container is loaded. And then we see all these environment variables to configure our SDK. And finally, what we have seen also in the presentation from Nicolas previously, we have here the Jaeger output. So we can see the resource attributes and all the beautiful stuff that comes with it. So next we have we can have a look on metrics. So there is the OpenTelemetry SDK. So if you want to go with OpenTelemetry metrics, but I assume a lot of people have already some Prometheus stuff in place, and the OpenTelemetry operator also helps us with this. So we can. Mate, we look first on the receiver part on the bottom. We see there we configure the Prometheus receiver, which has a scrape configuration, and there we can, for example, add some static targets. So we assume we add there three different scrape endpoints. Then afterwards, if the target allocator is enabled, this will then take these scrape targets and divide, spread these targets across our replicas, which are then responsible for getting the metrics. And that's basically how it works. There is also an option to enable Prometheus CRs, so we can then forward to this one. And the target allocator, which is an extra instance created by the Jaeger by the OpenTelemetry operator, will then get the targets from there. So we see this here in this graphic quite good. On the left side, we see pod 1, which is using OpenTelemetry, and it's pushing the information, the telemetry data it gets directly to a collector. And in this gray box, we see there we have two instances running Prometheus, instrumented with Prometheus, and the collector 1 and collector 2 are pulling the information from there. So this is all managed then by the operator. We have seen the replicas. This is basically collector 1 and collector 2. And since we enable the target allocator, we get the targets from there, so which is then coming from the pod monitor. And finally, we send the information somewhere. So the last thing here, the last signal are then logs. So for logs, there are different options. So the first one would be to use the OpenTelemetry SDK, what we might don't want right now because we need to do some work. But if we directly want to go ahead, there is the PhyLog receiver. We can configure it to get the information from disk. And it's available in the config repository. And we have different parsers there which help us to move the logs into the OTLP format. We will see in a minute how this looks like. And there are other options if you want to integrate with FluentBit. So there is a forwarder, so you can use it as a kind of a gateway then. And the only thing we need to do then is we can configure it as a daemon set. We need to pass our information there, and the PhyLog receiver, for example, can then get all the logs. And how does this look like at the end? So this is when we exported this the logs to the logging output, so standard out. We see that we have the resource attributes which are added automatically. And we see then the log information. And on the bottom, the trace ID and span ID, which are not given if we read it just from disk. But that's it. Then we are almost at the end.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the interesting talk. Does anyone have questions? Any questions? Raise your hand. Question? Yeah, there we go.
For the logging part, would you suggest to replace any kind of cluster logging like with FluentBit or that's like sending it off to a Loki or something with an OpenTelemetry log scraping, or is that complementary?
So I'm not sure if I fully got it. So you want to... Yeah, in this case, it's just another way. But the useful thing is if you have the OpenTelemetry SDK, it will automatically add then the trace ID to it, and then you can correlate your signals.
Oh, sorry. So I'm super newbie to this, so I fail to understand how the if the OpenTelemetry is trying to replace, for example, the log parsers like the Telegraph, for example, which is able to generate Prometheus metrics by log scraping, or also how Zipkin, which is the tracing thing, fits in the metric collection of all this picture. So I'm not trying to, I'm trying to understand how you cobble together all these sources and how OpenTelemetry either replaces or either makes it easier to use all these technologies together. Thank you.
Yeah, so maybe on this slide you see that the pod, the third pod is using the Zipkin and Prometheus, and the collector can receive data, you know, in Zipkin format. It can scrape Prometheus metrics, then transform this data into OTLP or the Zipkin as well, and then send it to the other collector. So the collector essentially can receive data in multiple formats, transform them to the format of your choice, and then use that format to send it to other systems.
Hello, and thanks for the talk. I'm just wondering, what's your strategy of filtering health check requests, for example, or the life probes requests that you get in the pod?
How do health you checks, like to avoid generating traces for health checks?
Sorry?
To avoid generating traces for health check endpoints?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. So you could maybe configure the collector to drop the data, but I think the best way would be to tell the instrumentation to skip instrumenting those endpoints. To be honest, I'm not sure if this is implemented in OTel agents, but I saw a lot of discussions around this problem, so probably there will be some solution.
We have time for one last question, if there is any. No? Okay. Oh, no. Then thanks a lot.